What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and today is opening day. I don't care whatever the opening night thing was. That was ridiculous. And yes, I have missed you all so, so much. I was planning on doing the Plus Pitch Podcast throughout spring training. You guys can understand that life is very unpredictable. Lots of things all of a sudden came up, and I wasn't able to do it. But I am here every single weekday of the regular season to help you make your decisions. And we're changing the Plus Pitch Podcast a little bit this year. You might have seen it at the end of last season. I will be reviewing only a few major names from last night, really with the actionable items. Who are the guys you want to be picking up based on yesterday's games? And then I'll be talking about today and tomorrow's games. And if you want the streaming rankings for the day after tomorrow, so this will be for Saturday, you got to go to the streaming rankings on the site and get yourself PL Pro. I will have not only my streaming rankings for the day after tomorrow, but also you will get an SP sit or start grid for 14 days ahead. That is all of the players ranked via auto start, probable start, questionable start, or do not start way ahead of your teammates. You can get a leg up on those matchups and making sure that you know that the guy you're picking up will also have a good start next week, and you might be able to plan way faster than your league mates. That is with PL Pro. We have so many amazing things that we are launching this year with PL Pro. So get it today, 10% off with promo code podcast. But all right, we had opening night. If you had Logan Webb or Max Fried, I'm sorry if you had Webb. I really am. Dud Webb was a roundup today. Pretty obvious stuff of like, yes, it was a bad second inning and he got singled out and so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about it. I am a little annoyed that he didn't throw as many sweepers or cutters as we would have liked. He threw one to a right-hander, that sweeper, and it was the Caballero single, so he just stopped after that. I get it. With Max Fried, he was a tick down, and we normally do see Max Fried needing a few starts to really get into a rhythm. I've seen starts where he needed five starts. Sometimes it's two, three. And the fact that he went 6.1 on opening day, I think is like the longest he's gone in a long time for opening day. Wonderful sign. Do not worry about the drop in velocity. He threw 96 to start the game. He has it. He just isn't pushing it all the way right out of the gate. So don't worry about that whatsoever. Now, I'm now going to focus on today and tomorrow. I think those are the most important things that I can do. We're also going to be changing how we do the On the Corner podcast. If you don't follow that one, that is with me and Eric Samolsky. This is the Plus Pitch. You can actually subscribe to the individual feeds of the Plus Pitch podcast or the OTC, the On the Corner podcast, separate from the Pitcherless Fantasy Baseball mega feed. If you don't want all of the podcasts that we have, that's fine. Locate the ones that you want because they all have an individual feed as well. And if you're not watching this on YouTube, you're doing it wrong. Okay, so the guys that you should be considering picking up. Well, look, it's Thursday. It is real opening day. Say for some teams not playing, I don't get it. Why do we only have 11 games and not 15? It's fine. Maybe you can say 14 on the opening night, but there are teams that didn't play yesterday and are not playing today. I hate it. I hate it so much. Boy, I don't hate where all these studs going. So Garrett Crochet, Skeens, Scooble, Yamamoto, Sanchez, Hunter Brown, Logan Gilbert, Freddy Peralta, auto starts, of course, Trevor Rogers, Joe Ryan, Nick Pivetta, Jacob Mizorowski. If you have any of these guys in your lineup, just start them, obviously. Nathan Eovaldi, Matthew Boyd, Drew Rasmussen as well. I'm making all auto starts. Now we get a little bit more interesting. Andrew Abbott is going against the Red Sox. I'm going to do it. I do get, though, if you want to be safe for one start, okay? Treat him as if he's like an SP5 and makes his first start on Tuesday or Wednesday. The reason I'm saying that is he had a rough spring training and he was not in rhythm with everything. I'm not seeing drops in velocity. I'm not seeing a real difference from last year, save that the changeup wasn't locating in the right spot here and there. And that happens from time to time, especially in the spring. So if you want to see one start from it, and also it is the Red Sox inside of Cincinnati, which isn't great. At least it's not Fenway where it's very claustrophobic for the pitcher. Of course, in addition to the park being really weird. Andrew Abbott, I'm still going with, but if you want to see one start, I get that. Matthew Liberatore is going against, is going against the Rays in St. Louis. It is not as good of a defense as it used to be. Arenado's gone here. Okay, you have Nolan Gorman at third. I don't know if I like that. And I don't know if I like Burleson at first base. However, it's the Rays. It is a nice park, pitcher's park in general. Liberatore is also showcased inside of spring that he's a Toby. And I really think he can do well here. So that is certainly a play that I would be doing for your 12 teamers today. Getting that early start value, and then maybe you can make a decision for that. Maybe you hold on to Liberatore. A questionable start here is Tanner Bibee at Seattle. A lot of people were in on Tanner Bibee. I'm not. I feel like he's very fringe for a 12-teamer. I think he's too chaotic and volatile, does not have good command. There was one game that Tanner Bibee did well, which is where he had his cutter located consistently down in glove side, with his fastballs getting up and in to right-handers. That is the way that it needs to be for Tanner Bibee. It is rare to see that. And shortly after, in the next start, it wasn't that way. His changeup has always been all over the place. It does work at times. Fine. It's in Seattle. It's at the T, right? If you don't remember that reference, it's just T-Mobile Park. It's also, you sip your tea because it's casual and easy. It's great pitching in Seattle, okay? It's a lovely pitcher's park. There are these extra effects that make it better for them. So you might still want to do it. I am absolutely shocked that Tanner Bibee is more rostered than Andrew Abbott. Kind of crazy to me. And I am not going to go for it personally because I just don't want to have Tanner Bibee on my teams. If you have him, I get it. Have fun. See how this works. I'm not going to go for this full season. I feel like he's destined to be a whip killer, and I don't know if the ERA is going to be that good. It's just the whole thing is like, not really what I want. Shane Smith is of consideration at Milwaukee because Jackson Chourio has a fractured wrist. I can't remember which one it was. He's not in the lineup. Makes it a worse lineup now. And Shane Smith is not my favorite starter. He was one of those late guys last year that I was targeting because he was on the 40-man and he had extra velocity. And it worked out, but we all know that wasn't legitimate for another season. And Shane Smith this spring has not really impressed me. It's 94, 96. He looks like he still needs to get his stamina back up. Not to mention the secondaries, the kick change, the slider, the curve are not incredible right now. So it can work out. And if you need another start for today, if you really want to get those 4 games, 4 days filled up for those Yahoo leagues that are only a 4-day week, I'm okay with it. It's not the one I'd be going for. I'd be going for a Liberatore. I'd be going for Steven Matz even over the weekend. I would have Shane Smith over Kyle Freeland though tomorrow. And then there's Zach Gallen, who I actually am in on a bounce back year, but the Diamondbacks have a terrible opening schedule. It's going to be the Dodgers here to start. Not fun. I believe they go to the Padres next. Not great. And I believe that's right. I could be wrong. I apologize if I am. It's just not a good opening schedule. This one I would have on the bench. Just don't overdo it with Gallen here. It's also something standard that you will not see as many 6-inning outings in general. Zach Gallen, even though it is opening day, did sign a little bit late with the Diamondbacks, and it might mean under 80 pitches as well. So I don't feel like you need to do this. And the do not start here, I have Jose Soriano and Cade Cavalli. Yes, Cade Cavalli is my last ranked guy here. He wouldn't normally be because he does have good stuff with the curveball and he does throw hard. It is what I call empty velocity. If you don't know empty velocity, that is where you throw 96 or higher, but the shape of it isn't good. He doesn't have good extension either. And that means that those are more hittable four-seamers and sinkers than you would normally see at that kind of velocity. It's why you see Ben Brown, for example, not get whiffs on his four-seamer, even though he throws over 96. Cade Cavalli, same fashion. It is a really good spike knuckle. I should say it's a knuckle curveball. Really, it's the same thing. And it's about 84, 85 with good two-plane movement. Awesome. He needs more than that. So hopefully we see that today. Also, I don't love the team context with the Nationals. He goes into Wrigley. It is blowing in, apparently, today in Wrigley. So that could help, but it is a good Cubs crew. Yeah, I just don't want to do Cade Cavalli at all. I feel like it's a hipster. And Jose Soriano against the Astros, that could work. He's a heavy grounder guy, and heavy ground ball guys are so susceptible to tons of hits. You saw Logan Webb yesterday. High BABIPs. Terrible whips. And especially for Jose Soriano, who does not throw as many strikes as, say, Logan Webb, means that he's destined to be a 125 plus whip, if not really 130, 135. It's just not the kind of start I want to go for. Now, we have a lot of starts tomorrow as well, and I'll tell you the guys that you should be jumping on now if you can get them into your lineup tomorrow. I'll tell you all of that after this break. So Friday, all right, we only have 16 games. Again, I hate this. I understand the rainouts from the previous day, but just, I hate it. Chris Sale, Cole Reagans, Sandy Alcantara. I'll start really with Cole Reagans and Chris Sale. Easy, ace is going to ace. Sandy Alcantara is third because it is Rocky Road, and that's just so nice in Miami. Okay, Cam Schlittler is in San Francisco. Phenomenal situation. He's throwing 94, 95 mile per hour cutters. Love it. You have George Kirby, who I actually have ranked higher on the list than these two, but lower here. Why? Because I think George Kirby overall for the year is generally going to have more, going to have better matchups because he has that lovely home park and also just has a little bit more of a track record recently. That said, George Kirby in this one particular situation with Alcantara already stretched out and going against such a good matchup, Cam Schlittler throwing those amazing cutters right now and being healthy, and then you have George Kirby against the Guardians. All of them are great. I just have a little bit lower for the aforementioned reasons. I just feel like the ceiling is a little bit lower. We haven't really seen him overwhelm in the spring, but my gosh, the 87, 88 mile per hour sliders with so much movement. If he just lanes better, if George Kirby throws inside sinkers, he will have more whiffs on his slider. This is something I am so upset about that he doesn't do, because he throws sinkers away. And what this means is that, I mean, you saw the Judge strikeout last night with Logan Webb throwing a sinker inside. That's because he was landing Webb, where any fastball, any pitch away from Aaron Judge was a sinker coming back over the plate. Anything that was inside was a sweeper that was going to end off the plate the other direction. So Aaron Judge saw a pitch coming inside, instantly laned it as a breaking ball away. And instead, it was the sinker coming in, and that's why he swung at that pitch, if you guys remember that. George Kirby should be doing the same thing. George Kirby doesn't. He keeps his fastball away, and then the slider is starting inside and going away. And that's why you don't see the whiffs that you should. So if George Kirby just throws this good sinker inside to right-handers, which everyone else does for the most part, sorry, like 90% people do, he'll be so much more effective. Because then guys can't decide when they see the inside, is it coming into me or is it going away? And then you also have the four-seamer to mess around with things going upstairs. It's just right there and he doesn't do it and it drives me nuts. That's a lot about George Kirby. Okay, Framber Valdez goes against the Padres. I hope he has his curveball. If you have Framber Valdez, you're starting him. Cool, awesome. But yeah, I that's it. You also have Kevin Gausman against the Athletics. I'm going to start him if I have him. Gausman is going to be a little volatile. It's going to be a little annoying at times because he is so splitter dependent. It's really what it is four-seamer splitter. It's always been this way. He has proven that he is more often good than bad. And when it comes to rostering for a season, you're not going to drop him. He's also proven himself to be a high volume arm, which means that you are going to get for your roto leagues 170 plus strikeouts in all likelihood this year. It can be a 120-ish whip in a 3.60 ERA or whatever. So that's why I have him favorable in my rankings and all. At the same time, just know the day-to-day is going to be a little bit more frustrating. And against the Athletics in Toronto is not really the best matchup, but I feel like if you have him, you're going to start him. Probable start tier, I mean, I could put Gavin Williams in the auto start as well, but I do recognize that Gavin Williams is just frustrating, which is to the point of I don't know what he's going to throw. I don't know what his arsenal is going to be. I don't know if he's going to have strikes with everything. It was a full journey last year of one approach and then like five others and then going back to the same approach by the end. And it's kind of what we've seen right now, but he's pulling back on the cutters again. I don't know. It's in Seattle, so that's good. So yeah, probably start him fine. Mike Burrows is in Houston hosting the Angels, and that's so good. The Angels offense is very bad, guys. You're going to be wanting to stream against them a ton, and you're going to be like, hello, just kidding. All right, Mike Burrows, new slider. We thought that there would be some change coming from Pittsburgh to Houston. I honestly was tepid on it because I didn't think there would be a big change, but all of a sudden, yeah, there was. And it's a slider that's much better now. He was a changeup guy first before. Now he has two good secondaries. The fastball is good enough. The one concern I do have about Burrows is the longevity and the stamina in starts. He didn't really go six innings much last year, and it might be something that he needs to build more into. At the same time, if you have him, you're going to do this. I have him above the next three because the other three are shaky for multiple reasons. One, Emmett Sheehan against the Diamondbacks. I think Dodgeritis is at play. And what that means is I don't know how the Dodgers are going to let or how they're going to utilize Emmett Sheehan. What we saw in spring training is that Emmett Sheehan would have good velocity in the first couple innings, and then the fourth and fifth, he would just plummet. Like, we're talking like 96 all the way to 92. And that usually is a sign of injury, especially when it's so drastic. So it might be something that Sheehan is still lacking stamina because he had this illness at the beginning of the year. And he's not fully recovered. It could just be as simple as that, and that's why he's on the IL. But I would imagine then that the Dodgers would be very cautious of this and conscientious of it, that they would replaced him earlier in the game than you would want. So not as high as I would want Emmett Sheehan to be. Michael King has not been dominant yet this spring, but we have not seen him fully locked in, and it's driving me up the wall, and I push them down, down, down every single turn of the ranking because of it. So I'm going to do it because I'm excited, but this could be, and we could be talking about that on Saturday morning with the roundup. And then you have Robbie Ray against the Yankees, and it's the Yankees. It's a very good offense, guys. So I understand if you don't want to do that. Robbie Ray has a history of being chaotic and having more walks than you want. At the same time, it's a very good four-seamer, and if he has a slider and or changeup and or curve working, one of those for 20% at least, hopefully it's like 50% secondaries, 50% fastballs, he can be excellent here. So I think it's very much worth your time. Questionable start here. You have Ryan Nelson against the Dodgers, just like it is with Gallen. It's a bad matchup for him. Ryan Nelson's four-seamer is really good still, and hopefully the cutter or slider or changeup or curve, whatever, shows up for 25% usage and is effective. Don't know. I don't feel like I need to go for this one. And I have Kyle Freeland here as my streamer. 1% rostered at Miami. No one cares about Rockies pitchers except for the first week of the season, because if you remember, Kyle Freeland has a history of being effective for the first week of the year. It's because they're not in Colorado and they haven't been affected by pitching in Colorado. Keep in mind, when you pitch in Colorado so much in the year, you then expect the pitches to move a certain way, right? Because they move differently in Coors than they do everywhere else. But at the beginning of the year, we notoriously see these pitchers who have gotten used to not Coors in spring continue to pitch at a better level outside of Coors. And now it's in Miami. So maybe this works. I'm going to have him as my streamer instead of Luis Severino or Yusei Kikuchi, who are both in the do not start tier. Surprisingly, Kikuchi's at 30% rostered. Don't understand that, but whatever. And Severino is at 9%. 9% against Toronto. In Toronto, Severino's not going to pitch at the same level as the WBC. He was so amped and so into that, and it's great. We saw the increased velocity. Now he's pitching for the Athletics with lower morale, and it's going to be a great offense in Toronto. I don't want to do it. I think this is not going to be fun. And then you have Kikuchi at the Astros. I think the Angels have a bad defense. It's a bad team context. He's notoriously volatile. It's just not worth the gamble whatsoever. Freeland, to me, at least, is like the sneaky of, yeah, this could actually be okay. Maybe I could put that in a do not start too. I don't really want to do any of those, but I have him as a questionable start because it's like, you know what? I think there might be. I just want to put my foot in the line. I don't know. You understand. I want to stake that one. All right. We have Saturdays as well, and I'm not going to go too deep into detail with that one, but if you notice today on the website where I post my daily streaming rankings for today, tomorrow, and of course if you appeal pro, it's the day after tomorrow, I'm giving away my rankings for Sunday, or at least my streaming pick for Sunday early. Same with PLBot's picks, that is our PLV projections, who have beaten me by one in the streaming battle for the entire year. They won last year by one game, and I'm so upset about it, and I could have done it, and I messed up the last day, and I hate it. Anyway, Joey Cantillo is my guy for Sunday, or Saturday. Should not be a surprise. It's at Seattle, an easy one. But there is also a slew of questionable start guys that you should maybe consider if you were really looking for that extra guy on Saturday or extra starts for this weekend, and you'll get that inside of the article if you have PL Pro. But that is it for today. So thank you all so much for joining me again for another season. I'm so excited to be talking more about the matchups than I am reflecting on the night before. I'll be letting you know in this podcast and on YouTube the players who from last night are waiver ads. I think that is the most effective thing I can do. I'm not going to talk about the guys who are constantly rostered. If you want detailed outlines of every single pitcher from the night before, read the roundup. It's right there for you. It's the number one way to stay on top of this stuff. And this podcast will be the quick hits of the ones that are most important. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.